It's Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision-making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered, and in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of our readers. And the question last week was, I want to request for my dad's medical records in ICU, but do I have the right as his daughter? You can check out last week's question by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer questions that we get quite frequently as part of my one-on-one consulting and advocacy service. Today's question is, what is an arterial blood gas test, also known as ABG? Now, if you're watching this video or you're listening to the podcast, you might think that this is going to be a very medically complex topic today. And to a degree it is, but you have heard me say this before, that the biggest challenge for families in intensive care is simply that you don't know what you don't know. If you don't know what to look for, if you don't know what questions to ask, and if you don't know how to manage doctors and nurses, you will be fighting an uphill battle. And you can't make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control and influence. So therefore, the more you learn about intensive care, the more you learn about the details in intensive care, the more leverage you will have. So let's dive right into it. An arterial blood gas, also known as ABG, measures oxygen and carbon dioxide levels in the blood. It also measures body's acid base or pH levels, which is usually in balance when you're healthy. The ABG test gives the doctors and the nurses clues about how well your loved one's lungs, heart and kidneys are performing. Every cell in your body needs oxygen to live. When you breathe, inhale and breathe out, exhale, your lungs move oxygen into your blood and push carbon dioxide out. That process, called gas exchange, provides the oxygen we and all of our cells need to survive. Your red blood cells transport oxygen and carbon dioxide throughout your body. These are known as blood gases. As blood passes through your lungs, oxygen flows into the blood while carbon dioxide flows out of the blood into the lungs. The blood gas test can determine how well lungs are able to move oxygen into the blood and remove carbon dioxide from the blood. Imbalances in the oxygen, carbon dioxide and pH levels of your blood can indicate the presence of certain medical conditions. These may include kidney failure, heart failure, uncontrolled diabetes, hemorrhage, chemical poisoning, a drug overdose, shock. Arterial blood gas values may be indicated before and after the start or discontinuation of oxygen administration to a patient after ventilator changes and when a change in patient status has been noted. So why is an arterial blood gas test done? Arterial blood gas test is done to A, check for severe breathing and lung problems such as asthma, cystic fibrosis, or COPD, also known as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. B, check how treatments for your loved one's lung problems are working. C, check whether your loved one needs extra oxygen or other help with breathing. And D, check your loved one's acid-base balance. They can have too much acid in your body from kidney failure, a severe infection, specific toxic ingestions, complications of diabetes, also known as diabetic ketoacidosis, or undertreated sleep apnea. Arterial blood gas analysis is a common investigation in emergency departments and intensive care units for monitoring patients with acute respiratory failure. It also has some application in general practice, such as assessing the need for domiciliary oxygen therapy in patients with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, again also known as COPD. An arterial blood gas result can help in the assessment of a patient's gas exchange, ventilatory control, and acid-base balance. However, the investigation doesn't give a diagnosis and should not be used as a screening test. It is imperative that the results are considered in the context of the patient's symptoms. While non-invasive monitoring of pulmonary function such as pulse oximetry is simple, effective and increasingly widely used, pulse oximetry is no substitute for arterial blood gas analysis. Pulse oximetry is solely a measure of oxygen saturation and gives no indication about blood pH, carbon dioxide or bicarbonate concentrations. So how do you draw an ABG? An arterial blood gas sample is collected from an artery primarily to determine arterial blood gases. Arterial blood sampling should only be performed by health professionals for whom the procedure is in the legal scope of their practice for their position in their country and who have demonstrated proficiency after formal training. The sample can be obtained either through a catheter placed in an artery or by using a needle and syringe to puncture an artery. These syringes are preheparinized and handled to minimize air exposure that will alter the blood gas values. An arterial blood gas requires the nurse to collect a small sample of blood. Generally, a full 1 mL is preferred. Blood can be drawn via an arterial stick from the wrist, groin, or above the elbow. The radial artery on the wrist is most commonly used to obtain the sample. However, the femoral artery and brachial artery can be used if necessary. If your loved one already has a pre-existing arterial line, this can be used to obtain the sample. Once the blood is obtained, it is either sent to the hospital's central lab for analysis or tested by the respiratory therapist, ICU nurse or ICU doctors on the unit's blood gas analyzer. Most ICUs have one on the unit for a quick turnaround. While arterial samples are the best for diagnostic reasons, they do provide some challenges for nurses and providers. The main issue is your loved one doesn't have a functioning arterial line. A frontline clinician has to draw the arterial sample. Some hospitals allow specifically trained nurses or phlebotomists to perform this skill, but only after an intense training program. If a provider is not available to perform the arterial stick, treatment could be delayed. So what are the risks and contraindications of a blood gas test? The ABG test is a standard blood test and a very safe procedure. If performed correctly, there's very low risk involved aside from the normal risks associated with any blood draw. Because the test is normally performed on an artery, which is typically located deeper within the body than veins, there may be some pain. If your loved one is taking supplemental oxygen therapy, the oxygen levels must stay consistent without assistance for at least 20 minutes before giving blood for an ABG test. Precautions are observed if your loved one is currently taking any blood thinner such as heparin, warfarin or aspirin, or even supplements such as fish oil. Possible side effects associated with the blood gas test include bleeding or bruising at the puncture site, feeling faint, blood accumulating under the skin, infection at the puncture site. So what are the complications related to arterial blood gas sampling? There are several potential complications related to arterial blood gas sampling. The points below list some of the complications related to the procedure and how they can be prevented. First, arteriospasm or involuntary contraction of the artery may be prevented simply by helping your loved one to relax. This can be achieved, for example, by explaining the procedure and positioning them comfortably. Hematoma or excessive bleeding can be prevented by inserting the needle without puncturing the far side of the vessel and by applying pressure immediately after blood is drawn. Due to the higher pressure present in arteries, pressure should be applied for a longer time than when sampling from a vein and should be supervised more closely to check for cessation of bleeding. Nerve damage can be prevented by choosing an appropriate sampling site and avoiding redirection of the needle. Next, fainting or a vasovagal response can be prevented by ensuring that your loved one is supine, lying down on their back with feet elevated before beginning the blood draw. Those requiring arterial blood sampling are usually inpatients or in the emergency ward, so will generally already be lying in a hospital bed. Children may feel a loss of control and fight more if placed in a supine position. In such cases, it may be preferable to have the child sitting on the parent's lap so that the parent can gently restrain the child. Other problems include a drop in blood pressure, complaints of feeling faint, sweating or paler that may precede a loss of consciousness. So, how to interpret results of arterial blood gas tests? Results of an arterial blood gas test can help your doctors and nurses in intensive care and also respiratory therapists diagnose various diseases or determine how well treatments are working for certain conditions, including lung diseases. It also shows whether or not your loved one's body is compensating for the imbalance due to the potential for compensation in some values that will cause the correction of other values. It's essential that the person interpreting the result be a trained healthcare provider with experience in blood gas interpretation, such as ICU doctors, ICU nurses, respiratory therapists, and also emergency room or emergency department doctors and nurses. The test measures arterial blood pH, which indicates the amount of hydrogen ions in the blood. A pH of less than 7 is called acidic, and a pH greater than 7 is called basic or alkaline. A lower blood pH may indicate that your blood is more acidic and has higher carbon dioxide levels. A higher blood pH may indicate that your blood is more basic and has a higher bicarbonate level. Bicarbonate, which is a chemical that helps prevent the pH of blood from becoming too acidic or too basic. Partial pressure of oxygen, which is a measure of the pressure of oxygen dissolved in the blood. It determines how well oxygen is able to flow from the lungs into the blood. Partial pressure of carbon dioxide, which is a measure of the pressure of carbon dioxide dissolved in the blood. It determines how well carbon dioxide is able to flow out of the body. Oxygen saturation, which is a measure of the amount of oxygen being carried by the hemoglobin in the red blood cells. In general, normal values include arterial blood pH 7.35 to 7.45, bicarbonate HCO3 22 to 26 milliequivalents per liter, partial pressure of oxygen, also known as PaO2, 75 to 100 millimeter per mercury, partial pressure of carbon dioxide, PCO2, 35 to 45 millimeter per mercury, oxygen saturation, O2 sats, 94 to 100%. Abnormal values may be a sign of certain medical conditions. An abnormal result basically means that your body is out of acid-base balance. As a result, your body fluids may become too acidic or too alkaline and less able to effectively support normal functioning. Abnormal results can be signs of certain medical conditions, including ones that we tabled below. So, for example, if the blood pH is less than 7.4, it's considered as low. And that can be considered as a metabolic acidosis, kidney failure, shock, diabetic, ketoacidosis could be one of the reasons. If pH is greater than 7.4, it could be considered a metabolic alkalosis, and the reasons for that could be chronic vomiting, low blood potassium. Then, if you have a pH less than 7.4, which is considered high, you might have a respiratory acidosis, and the reasons for that could be a lung disease, including pneumonia or COPD. And then, last but not least, if you have a low pH less than 7.4, you might have a respiratory alkalosis. You're breathing too fast because of maybe pain or anxiety. Measuring arterial blood gases can be a useful adjunct to the assessment of patients with either acute or chronic diseases. The results show if the patient is acidemic or alkalemic and whether the cause is likely to have a respiratory or metabolic component. The PaCO2 reflects alveolar ventilation and the PO2 reflects the oxygenation of arterial blood. When combined with your loved one's clinical features, blood gas analysis can facilitate diagnosis and management. So why is arterial blood gas necessary before and after extubation? Guidelines have been developed by the major healthcare professional groups involved in the management of mechanically ventilated patients and provided a framework for weaning from mechanical ventilation and extubation. Extubation is the removal of a breathing tube. Recommendations include the control and elimination of factors that may contribute to ventilator dependence, early assessment after clinical stability for discontinuation of mechanical ventilation, as well as assessment for the potential discontinuation of mechanical ventilation during spontaneous breathing as opposed to during supported breathing. The ABG values represent an aggregate of many events involving cellular metabolism, muscle activity, oxygen consumption and carbon dioxide production, cardiac function, tissue perfusion, ventilation and perfusion. As an aggregate measure, ABG values represent the patient's response to the spontaneous breathing trial and provide insight to the response to extubation. Most frequently, the clinicians use a spontaneous breathing trial to determine your loved one's readiness for liberation from the ventilator, which again is also known as extubation. A critically ill patient is then assessed for ability to breathe without an artificial airway, again, extubation. ICUs measure arterial blood gases during spontaneous breathing trials and use ABG values in conjunction with clinical data to determine if your loved one is fit for extubation or not. The importance of avoiding an inappropriate extubation based on ABG values should not be underestimated. Failed extubation means reintubation and increased risk of pneumonia, longer ICU stays, longer hospitalization, and increased mortality. Your loved one, once extubated, needs to still undergo a series of blood gas analysis or as necessary to determine if they are able to tolerate removal of the breathing tube and thus breathing on their own without a mechanical ventilator. Let's look at arterial blood gases and other parameters. Whilst arterial blood gas monitoring is particularly required for assessment of pulmonary functions, arterial blood gas in ICU is also a good way to quickly check your loved one's blood levels of electrolytes, especially potassium, calcium, magnesium, and sodium values. This is particularly important in the immediate management of cardiac arrhythmias as it gives an immediate result. Next, lactate, produced as a byproduct of anaerobic respiration. A raised lactate can be caused by any process which causes tissue to use anaerobic respiration. It's a good indicator of poor tissue perfusion. Next, hemoglobin HB acts as a guide but may be inaccurate in an ABG. Lab samples should be used to verify results. Next, glucose. This should always be checked during ABG or as otherwise ordered by doctors. Glucose is especially pertinent in the management of the patient who has decreased consciousness or seizures. It's also important in patients with known or suspected diabetes. Glucose may also be raised in patients with severe sepsis or other metabolic stress. Most or some patients in ICU that are non-diabetic also have an increased glucose level temporarily. It's often a stress response to the critical illness. Thank you for watching this video. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? How can you make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You will get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free Instant Impact Report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability, even if your loved one is dying. You will get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also have a look at our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Also, have a look at our membership site, intensivecaresupport.org, for families of critically ill patients in intensive care. You can also call me, find phone numbers on the top of our website. Also, have a look at our ebook section, and you can also get one-on-one consulting and advocacy with me over the phone via Skype and via email by clicking on the relevant tabs on the top of the website. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Take care.